We live in such a world that's so busy, and I was just thinking about the business of life. And when you look around, people are always constantly busy doing something. If they're not busy at work, when they're at work, when they're home, they're watching TV. If we're not watching TV, they're on the computer, some gadget. And I was thinking today, what would people do if there was no gadgets around? We're constantly preoccupied with something. Something. Whether it be something going on in this life, you know, whether you be a mom and you're so wrapped up with the home or what you have to do at home, you know. And I've known wives who are always stressing, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And they're always wrapped up in something. Or husbands, oh, I got to work, I got to do this, I got to do that. Or if we're not doing that, we're so wrapped up in entertaining ourselves, you know. What are we going to do, you know? Watching movies and all these things. This does carry over into the Christian walk. And that's a sad, sad thing, because as believers, that could be a big hindrance in a walk with God. Not God doesn't want us to have fun. I mean, he wants us to have fun. He wants us, you know, to be able to kick our feet up and relax and stuff like that. But what happens is that those little things can become big things in our life, which can become a big hindrance in our walk with God. Because as Christians, we're not meant to be just to live ordinary lives, just like everybody else. We're supposed to be walking in what the Word has for us. But a lot of times we don't see that all those little things could be hindrances to what God has for us, to knowing God. You know, so having said that, let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and verse 10. And this is a very common scripture. People know it. It says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'll be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth." Now, when you see that first line there, "Be still and know that I am God," a lot of times, you know, we see that, okay, I need to be still. Okay, so you think you just sit there and you just sit there and you don't move, you know, which is a good thing a lot of times in this day and life, because a lot of times as God's people, we want, you know, okay, we want a word from God. Okay, I'm going to sit still. But we sit there a few minutes and we start thinking about all the things we could be doing. So we, in our mind, we think like, okay, God, I'm hurry up with this word that you're going to give me. So we have God on our time, in our time frame. So this could mean many things. What it means to be still and know that I'm God. Because a lot of times, as God's people, we want answers. We want to hear God. But we want it in our time frame. You know, when we're ready. You know, we're not of the heart where we're saying, God, you know what? I need you. I really want to know you in my life and see you in my life. So I don't care how long it takes, God, I'm going to come before you. I'm going to get together with you, Lord, and know you. Be still, be in your presence, God. But a lot of times we're not willing to do that because we have all these things going on, all these activities, things that are pulling us away, right? But this here is saying, be still and know that I am God. And a few weeks ago, as I was reading this, you know, something else came to me as I was reading this verse. And it was like God was saying to me, be still, enter my rest. And another way of looking at this verse is saying, enter into the rest of God. That's the way of being still. So when God is saying to us, be still, he's saying, enter into my rest. And another place we see that word rest is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. I know we've talked about entering his rest before, but that's the only way of being still, when you enter his rest. It says in Hebrews 4 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." And verse 2, it says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So this is talking about the promise of rest, all right? And when I was looking up these words, what it means to be still, that word "be still" means to cease from, to abandon, to forsake, to relax. That's what it means to be still, to be quiet. And what are we entering to rest about? Is it just like, okay, you know, we're just putting our feet up and what's going through our mind is just nothingness. You know what I'm talking about? What are we entering to rest at? We enter into rest of what God has done, that the work is finished. That's the rest. That's what God is saying. He said, when I'm telling you to be still, cease from all that you're doing. Enter in to all that I have done. And then, and so I just think it's incredible. Because all through the Word of God, God is saying that to us, be still. Because the enemy wants us to be carried away with some, it could be good things. I'm going to get into that later on. So that we forget and know that He is God. Forget the goodness of we don't, our eyes are turned away from the goodness of God, and instead we're anxious, and we're not being, God said there's an importance to be still, to enter into that rest. Because when we enter into that rest, we have our eyes and our mind stayed on Him. There's peace, there's joy, right? And I don't want to get ahead of myself. But here's some things in order to be still. Okay, a lot of people say, how do I be still? Do I just sit there and just don't move? Is that it? And I just hope, just hope something to drop on me. What are the ways? How can we know? How can we be still? Well, if you read that verse, it says, be still and know that I am God. As I was reading that verse, to me, what that verse was saying is that we have to know that He is God. In order to enter His rest, in order to relax, in order to be quiet when there's a storm raging around us, we have to know that He is God. I don't know if you're seeing that. In order to be still in the midst of what's going on in this world, or whatever that's come, the enemies bring against us, we have to first know that He is God. You know, in the first few verses of Psalm 46, it says, in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swellings. So it's saying here that God, no matter what's going on, right? This is painting a picture that no matter what's going on, maybe even though the earth be removed, the worst possible scenario you could think of in your mind, He's our help in that time of trouble, and we don't have anything to fear. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it talks about that He is for us, right? Let's go there and read that, because sometimes we forget that when everything seems so negative in our life. Maybe it's something we've been believing for quite a while, and we're wondering, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, right? And it seems like no matter how long we stand, and we believe in God, seem like just the opposite seems to be happening, right? And that happens, right? How do we enter that rest? How do we become still and know that He is God? Well, in Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that. This is the same God it just spoke of in Psalm 46, that even when the earth is removed, it says he's our help. We have nothing to fear. If you go down to verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. And goes on to say, for I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And she's just talking about that when we know that He is God, we know that nothing will separate us from His love. We know His love. We know that God is for us. I know we've heard these things, but sometimes we so easily forget. Because when we're running around in this life, we're taken up with life. It's amazing, you know. When we were back in the U.S. this time, I was just sitting there in the car with Sean. We're going somewhere, maybe to the store or something like that. And I was just looking at people, you know, drive around in their cars. And then the thought came to me, I said, look at this. People, we just live life as if this is just all there is. We get up in the morning, we hop into our car, we go to work, we come home, and the same thing every day as if This is all there is, and this, as if this is all there'll ever be. We're building our houses, we're buying our cars, as if this is all there is to life, right? And same thing, I'm talking about believers, and we're not taking time to know that He is God. Know His love for us, right? Know His love, that He's our present, that He's our help in a time of trouble. To know, truly know His love. Not only in times of desperation we run. You know, I know many Christians, because they're not taking time to enter into His rest and be still and know God, that when troubles come, is that's when the time you find them in church or to be counseled, right? And when it eases up a bit, then you don't see them until the next whatever, right? These are people who are not being still. They're not entering into a rest. They don't know God, right? You know, when you know that He is God, like it says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, you can call upon Him and He will answer. How many times do we feel like, I heard a lady say this. She said, I keep crying out to God and He's not answering me. Well, that's not the God we serve. Because He promises in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, He said, call upon me and I will answer. He said, I will. That's a promise He's made to us. That's a promise He's made to His children, that if you are My sheep, that you hear My voice all the time. And I probably shared this a little bit a few weeks ago, that you hear His voice. It's already a done deal. He said, if you're My sheep, and if we are His, if we, man, we've made Jesus our Lord and Savior, He said that's the part of the package, that you hear Me. Part of the package also is that whenever you call upon Me, I will answer. And that's part of entering that rest, that ease. There's no, you know, there's some people, you don't know how they're going to respond when you approach them. Well, that's not the way it is with God. He's already told you how He's going to react when you approach Him. He's already said, hey, man, you can be relaxed when you come into My presence, because I will answer you and hear what? And I promise you will hear Me. But you know what? We will not enter into that hearing Him or even approaching Him if we don't know Him, if we don't know how much He loves us. All through the Word, He's saying, He is explaining to us, this is the God you serve. You have nothing to fear, no matter what's going on. You know, in Mark chapter 4, let's go there, Mark chapter 4. You know, it's so sad when you know of believers who have been in church for quite a while. Like, you know, this is young lady in Trinidad. She began coming to church around the same time that Sean and I, we went to Trinidad to help my parents with this church in 2002. So it's been over 11 years now. Been coming. And she's about my age, and she's had some health problems, you know. And just recently, she had a minor stroke at the age of 40, where it's affected her speech and all that stuff, you know. And all she could do is cry. Whenever my parents go visit her, all she's doing is crying. You know, her sister calls up my parents, please pray for her. Oh, she's so depressed and she's crying, right? I mean, I'm not trying to minimize. It's a horrible thing that's happened to her. But she's not able to enter His rest. She's not at rest because of this fact. I'm not saying she doesn't love Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But when we are at the place when we know Him, okay? When we know Him. I'm not saying if tomorrow we get some bad news from the doctor, it wouldn't upset you at first. But when you know God, when you know who your God is, that He's the mighty one, right? You know, just before I read Mark 4, you know, go down back to Psalm real quick. Psalm 50, it says in verse 12, it says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is Mine and all its fullness. And in verse 50, it says, call upon Me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify Me. And just, you see that over and over through the Psalm, or through the Word of God, that's the power of the God we serve. That's who He is. Everything that is in the world, the fullness of it, He owns it, okay? There's nothing, He says, there's nothing too hard for Me to do. That's what He says in His Word, right? But we only begin to walk in that and rest in that when we know God. And it's much more than just, okay, I go to church on Sunday. But it's just that time when we cease and we relax and say, God, I want to know You. I want to, God, everything that You are, God, I want to be fully persuaded of it in my heart. That's entering into that rest. That's being still and knowing that He is God. But let's go back to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. You know, this is the story about Jesus and the disciples. And this is the power of Jesus. We know the story. You know, he said to them, you know, in verse 35, Mark 4, verse 35, he says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Right? You know the story. And what happened? Well, he decided he's going to take a nap, right? He left them in charge. He's taking a nap. And then verse 38, it says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Sounds like us sometime, huh? God, don't you know what I'm in? Don't you know I'm dying, God? You know? Did you know what the doctor said, God? Sounds like us, huh? So that's people, a cry of someone who doesn't know God. When we approach God in such a manner. God, don't you see my bank account? Right? And we's like, you know, God, you know, that's the way they were approaching God. And verse 39, then it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And that's just a demonstration of who he is, right? He was able to calm. That's Jesus. That's our Lord. He calmed the wind, right? And an example of that is in Psalm 65, talks about just similar things throughout the word. In Psalm 65 in verse 5, it says, by awesome deeds in righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. So it's talking about his awesomeness, the power of our God. And then in Psalm 89, verse 8 and 9, it says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When waves rise, you still them. And Jesus was just demonstrating that to his disciples. That's who they had in their boat, Jesus. But yet they were panicking. And that's the way we do it a lot of times. Even though Jesus is in our boat, technically he's on the inside of us, right? That's where he is if we're a child of God, right? But a lot of times we're panicking, just like they are. When we have the one who calms the raging sea living on the inside of us and we react like that, shows we don't know God. When we're panicking, we're stressing out, you know, that shows we don't know God. I know that may seem like a broken record, but it seems like it's a common problem that we have. Because we revert to it all the time. God is saying, know me. Don't we see the key to everything that he said we have is knowing him? Because that's the only way we're going to enter into that rest. I mean, they could have been taken up like Jesus on the boat too. He didn't say they couldn't, right? He was at rest. He knew who he was. He wanted them to know who he was, but they were panicking. Right, that's why he went on to rebuke them. In verse 40, he says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? That's who we are a lot of times. We're fearful, right? And we have no faith. We don't trust God. We're not persuaded of who Jesus is. Who he is in our life. The power. That all that he is. The fullness of the Godhead, it says, dwells in him bodily. That's who lives on the inside of us. Right? So he rebuked the disciples. But in Isaiah 43, let's go there real quick. I like these verses, but in verse 43, chapter 43, sorry, and verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah, he said, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, you are mine. Isn't that true of us? Right? He knows our name. Okay, he's saying that to us. And he's in verse 2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And verse 3 says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I think that is so awesome because he's our Savior. And that's a promise he's made to us. That no matter what, sometimes we're in a situation where we feel like we're going to die. But he said, that's not true. That's not the truth. You're not going to die. Because I'm with you. I'm with you. right? And he says, have we been redeemed? Yes, we have, by his blood. And because of that, we are his. We are his children. And he says, because of that, whatever it is we're going through, he's with us. No matter what it is. That's a revelation to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, right? Technically, he was with them in the fire. Literally, in the fire. And not one hair on their head was burnt. But that only happened because they knew God. See, God could be saying to us loud and clear all the time, this is who I am. But we have to respond to it. We have to believe it. We have to know that's the God we serve. But he could be saying that all, or he could be displaying it all he wants to. But if we don't respond to it, if we don't believe it, all of that power lays dormant in our life, right? That's God. He's not going to force his goodness upon you. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. But we have to believe in his goodness. We have to believe that he loves us. We have to know that. Be persuaded of that in our heart. That no matter what it is, if it's a divorce, if someone's rejecting you, we have to know, God, I know you haven't rejected me. And you're with me in this. You're walking through this fire with me, God. And praise God, as I keep my eyes on you, I'm safe. I'm secure. And I'm going to come out on the other side better than before. That's the way God wants us to live our life. Right? Not because someone in the world experiences something. That means we have to go through that same experience. There's something greater for us as God's people. Right? So whatever we're going through, he says he's with us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, that verse could be for everything. When people are saying bad things about you, right? People are persecuting you. When people turn their backs on you. Whatever, right? You can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. But so many times we fear. And this isn't a message of condemnation. But every time I'm in fear of something, I say, God, Lord, I don't believe your word. Because truly, Lord, if I knew you, I would have no fear. I'll have no fear when you say, go there, right? Because you said you are with me. That you'll never leave me or forsake me. And I don't have to be worried. I could just enter to your rest. I could be still and know that you are God. And see your power flow in my life, God. Because you are my helper, right? God is such a good God. So we need to know that he is God. Another thing we need to know about him, that he keeps his word. A lot of times we act like if he doesn't keep his word. Seriously. I mean, the amount of times I've heard believers quote his scripture verses and then they add but at the end of it, shows me that they believe God doesn't keep his word. It's just, you know, a bunch of good teachings in here. Praise the Lord. It made me feel a little good. But every time we quote God's word, or we talk about God and we put a but at it, that means we don't really believe he keeps his word. Yeah, we just nullify his word, right? So he keeps his word. Whatever he speaks to you, everything in his word that he says is yours, it's already a done deal. That's part of entering into his rest, part of being still and knowing that he is God. God, you said, by your stripes, I was healed. Okay, you said it. God, you said that you provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory. God, you said it. It's a done deal. God, you said in your word, you have planned for my life. God, you said it. It's a done deal. Amen. You said in your word, God, that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Now that's a scripture verse. I remember that God has speak to me a few years ago because I thought it was over. It looked like it in the natural. That's what the enemy was speaking to me. I was very in tune to the enemy, right? I was so in tune. Yes, I was in tune to the enemy because I was hearing everything contrary to what God said. And I just remember being in a meeting and the praise and worship leader got up and he said, this is a word for somebody here. God is saying, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And I knew that was God speaking. If he said it in his word, he's going to finish it. That's the God we serve. He's so good. He's so loving. We're the ones that say, oh, God's over with me. He never said it. We're the ones that said, oh, I'm too old. He never said it. When God called us to something, he put a vision in our heart. He put it there. And he says, I'm going to perform it. But do we believe that? We're the one that place the limits and conditions on him. But he's not the one going back on his word. We're the one that is not believing it. So I had to make a choice. Am I going to believe the word that he said that he will begin a good work in me? He's going to be faithful. No, he's faithful. That's his name. One of his names, faithful. He's faithful to complete it. But whatever word he speaks to us, he keeps it. Psalm chapter 89 and verse 33. It says, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. There we go again. He will not allow his faithfulness to fail. And verse 34, it says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. He doesn't say, yeah, I know I told you that, but, you know, I mean, is that really what you heard? No. When God says something, he means it. He's faithful to his word. We're the one that are faithful to believe his word. But he's faithful in everything that he said in his word. He said he'll keep it. Just like when Jesus and his disciples, he said, let's get into the boat and go over to the other side. Let us go to the other side. He gave his word that let us. He didn't say, well, we'll go in the middle and sink. He gave them his word that he's going to be with them. And same thing with God. He's given us his word that I am with you till the end, right? I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's what he's saying to us. Everlasting, you know, God loved his words, huh? Everlasting, never ending, you know, never, I'll never leave you. Constantly reassuring us through his word, the kind of God he is. That we can depend on him. We can count on his word. Whatever he's spoken to us, that he'll keep it. You know, in that same instance with Jesus and the disciples on the boat, that just one word, even though when the storms were raging, they could have said, you know what? He gave us his word. Man, we just saw him do all these miracles. He said, if he said, let's go over to the other side, man, you know what? We just need to trust him that he knows what he's saying. We need to trust him if God says, move from here to there. Right? Trust him at his word, knowing that he's going to take care of it, even if there's a storm brews in the middle of it. Right? There's no, if he said it, because God said it, I can trust that word. Because there's so much, there's power in his word. When God speaks to us, we don't realize there's so much power in there. He doesn't give us a word so we could go out there and die. He wants us to hold on to his word. Right? So he said he will not break his word. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9, it says in verse 9, well, even verse 8 says, remember this and show yourselves, men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. And verse 11 says, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. And this is talking about God. He said, whatever he said, he will do it. Right? And that's what he's saying to us all through his word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 24. It says, it's a nice little verse. It says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. It's a nice little verse to remember, right? He will do it. He will do whatever he's called you to do, whatever he's spoken of your life, whatever promises he's spoken in the word, it's yours. He said, he will do it. In Isaiah 55 and verse 10, he says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And I think that's so awesome, because his word will never return void. And that's the way God is. You know, whatever he has spoken, he said his word will not return void. But then we said, but how come? I believe his word. I speak his word, right? But that's I'm not talking about just mindlessly quoting scripture verses. Okay, I'm saying, do you believe it? Believe his word, right? Because when we really believe God's word, we see that power release, the life of that word released in our life, right? And he says he never breaks his word. So when, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, maybe it wasn't God's will to heal, right? Nor did he say God breaks his word. He only keeps his word sometimes. There's stipulations he's a respecter of person. He likes some people. Or some people are more blessed than others. Or God loves you more than me. That's what we say. Well, not some people say that, right? That's when we say that about God, right? We're saying, God, you're not true to your word. We never know when you're going to be in a good mood. God, we never know when. Maybe it's iffy, right? Maybe, no, I don't know, God. And we put conditions on God. But God said, I will never break my covenant with you, right? And another scripture verse about covenant is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. And it's talking about a covenant of peace. And you notice when Jesus was in the boat, he said, peace be still to the wind, right? Well, you know, in Isaiah, it calls Jesus the Prince of Peace, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He's the Prince of Peace, right? And he says he has a covenant of peace with us, right? And Jesus is our peace. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, lives on the inside of us. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, right? He's the Prince of Peace because of what he has done, what he did on the cross, what he did on Calvary, right? He was the perfect sacrifice. He made atonement for our sins, right? He was a peace offering. Let's put it that way. And verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near, and but through him we both have access by one to the Father. Just reading that, you know that that's who lives on the inside of us. That's everything he did on the cross. And when we have a revelation of that peace that we have, or that who is in us, we can be still. We can enter the rest because he's saying, this is what I've done for you. This is the victory that I've attained for you. That's the victory that's already yours in Christ Jesus. And all you have to do is stand your ground and speak peace, who is Jesus, over your situation. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, paid the price. He did it all. I mean, that's the covenant of peace. He himself, Jesus Christ, right? And all we have to do is just enter into that. How many times we think about it? Jesus, this is what you've done. Because of what you've done, God, I'm not afar off anymore. I've been brought near. And you know, the next verse in verse 19, it says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Look at that. Sometimes we live our life as if we're strangers, like we're foreigners, even though we say we're children of God. But that's the way we live our everyday life, because we're not walking in this revelation that Christ is our peace. We're not speaking Christ. We're not speaking, Jesus, you are a peace into our situation. God, the work is finished. The work is done. You have won the victory. Amen. But how do we get into this? How do we, right? We have the purpose in our heart, right? In Hebrews chapter 4, later in that chapter, it says, be diligent to enter into that rest. You cannot have someone come lay hands on you for this. No, shucks, I thought I was going to get someone lay hands on me and, you know. No, we have to be the ones to be diligent to enter into it. Isn't that a one-time thing too? So many times through the Word of God talks about being diligent and to enter in. Diligence, always, continuous, to enter into, this is what I've done for you. This is who I am in your life. Right, we have to be diligent to believe it. Right? Okay, I'm going to do one more thing, and then I'll resume next week. But another thing, to enter into this, to being still and knowing He is God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is a story of, there was a great multitude coming against, you know, King Jehoshaphat. And you find it in verse 15 of Chronicles chapter 20. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 15 it says, "And he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat," the word came from the Lord, right? And the prophet is saying, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's," right? And then going on to verse 17, he says, "You will not need to fight in this battle," right? That's what God is saying to all of us. Whatever it is, right? And like Jesus says, in this world there will be many tribulations, but be of good cheer. That's what God's saying, what Jesus said. Be of good cheer, have overcome. While here in verse 17 it says, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." So here you see that standing still there. Enter his rest. But before you could enter into rest, you had to position yourself. Position yourself. What does it mean to position yourself? Well, when I read that, how do we position ourselves as God's people? Well, first of all, that means to me, you need to know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. You can never enter that rest if you don't know who Christ is and who He is on the inside of you. Your identity in Christ. Otherwise, you're going to have a struggle always of entering into that rest, of being still, of standing still, of standing, like it says in Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." But you know what? You're not going to stand for very long if you don't know who you are in Christ. You're going to be whipped. That's simply put it, right? But if you don't know who you are in Christ, yeah, you're going to receive every lie of the enemy. Everything. That's why he said, position yourself. Know who you're in Christ. Know whose you are. Know who's your God. Position yourself. Stand in that. Continue to stand in that position. That he loves you with an everlasting love. You are accepted. You are valued. You have been redeemed. The price has already been paid. The victory is already won. He says you're already more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. That's what he's saying. But we have to stand in that. Position ourselves in that. That, you know, this is who Christ is in me. And that's why, you know, we talk a lot about renewing our mind. It's not something, it's a one-time deal. Oh yeah, I renewed my mind last year. No, I'll tell you, all the time. The enemy never gives up, right? We need to renew our minds all the time to who Christ is in us and who we are in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 9, "We renew our mind," it says, "no, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is something we need to renew our mind for. That, man, God, we have a purpose, God. You know, so many Christians are depressed because they feel they have no purpose in life. What was I born for? What is my destiny? You hear all these messages on destiny. You have a destiny. God has a destiny for your life. But they don't. That sounds good, but they don't believe it. They don't believe God has a plan for their life, so they live hopeless lives instead. But that's not what His Word says. He says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we." It's already been prepared beforehand. Now, whether we walk in it all depends on us. But He prepared it already, that we should walk in it. Do we believe it? We have to position ourselves in that. Renew our mind. This is what Jesus says about me. So, devil, you're a liar. Don't you dare come to me and tell me there's no hope in my future. You're lying. That's not what Jesus says. Don't you dare me I'm washed up. That's a lie. That's not what the Lord says about me in His Word. Don't tell me I'm old. I'm not old. That's what His Word says about me. God said, He has a plan and a purpose for my life, and I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to believe that. Abraham could have believed that, huh? He was really old when he had Isaac, very old. He could have given up and said, God, I'm so old. But no, he walked in God's plan and purpose for his life because he believed the Word of God. Believe what God spoke over him, right? We have to believe the word that says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 that we are blessed and not cursed, right? Jesus took upon himself all the curses for us. You know, when we hear people say, oh, you look like you have a curse over your life. I say, no, not in Jesus. Jesus took upon himself all curses. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. I'm the head and not the tail, right? We had a lady come up for prayer, a Zulu lady, and she said, yes, pray for me. You know, I was over at a relative's house, and there was like a spirit in the house or something like that, you know, she said. And it spooked me or something. And look, I hurt my foot. But because they believe, they give power to this. I said, well, you know what? If you're a child of God, you're not under this. Right? Greater is He who's in you. Right? You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be terrified of those things. Right? That you are blessed and not cursed. So I want to leave you with that tonight. I want you know that we need to keep ourselves in that position. You know, Sean preached quite a bit the past few weeks about just identity in a different form. But that's what it is about, the gospel. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, a lot of the Christian walk is us just renewing our mind to all that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what a victory is. That's where it begins, actually. When we begin to realize and walk in all that Christ has already done for us and rest in that and continue to renew our mind to that and stand in it, right? Then we'll be able to stand still, be quiet. And I like the last end of that verse, and I'll do that next week, and see the salvation of the Lord. We will not be able to see the salvation of the Lord if we're not standing still, if we're not entering His rest. Amen. Amen.